Morning.
Morning.
Thank you very much for your invitation for me to speak here this morning. It's a real pleasure to see you all. And first time I'm here, so I thought I'd just take a few minutes to introduce a little bit who I am.
And then I've got this lovely text to open up and see what meat we can find inside to feed us today. My name is Martin Chapman. I've spent most of my life actually in Europe. More recently, come back to England, and now I'm very much involved still with Europe, with evangelism. Lived large chunks of my life in Switzerland and France, and a little bit now in Spain. And the pandemic's kind of thrown everything up. So I haven't been able to be
quite so active. So I'm now back in the UK for a little while and involved with a mission called Jesus for Europe. And our heart is to help and serve churches in the European bloc with evangelism. Churches very much often involved with the interior pastoral work in church life, but a lack of evangelists and a lack of outside vision sometimes. So I have a team, mainly non-English, and we're involved with various countries in Europe to serve, equip and help churches in their evangelism of reaching out. So I have the pleasure of being with my good friend Alfredo today. He's come with me, and he's very much involved with the Italian world. So we have a team, we do a lot on Zoom, and it's a pleasure to be able to come and share with you this morning. So that's a little bit of my background. I am British and originally was from the Kent area. Spent a lot of time, actually worked in a church in Tunbridge Wells for many years in my younger day. Good. This chapter is an interesting chapter. Ehud, I believe you studied last Sunday, is also an interesting one where the flesh and the sword met. And this is also an interesting chapter, and I have the privilege of being with you in a couple of weeks' time to also go on to the next chapter as well about Gideon, who is also a very interesting character. So thank you very much for reading the chapter. It's always a challenge seeing the Old Testament stuff and trying to bring it and apply it into our lives in the New Testament, and applying some of these principles. God is the same. He hasn't changed, and there's many principles from the Old Testament that we can apply in the right way to the New Testament. Just a bit of background. Judges is a bit of a sad book in some respects regarding Israel. They've had some good leaders, Moses, Joshua, who led the nation. They saw great miracles, great power. Now it's a bit of a up and down time. 12 judges, and kind of they're in circles. They live a period of victory, then often the judge died. They go into a time of rebelling against God, turning against God often. Things wear off, and then they cry again to God, and God in his grace and mercy responds and sends them a new judge or a new leader, and God, by his grace, uses that leader to then bring victory. They then live a period of victory, and then they fall back into often old ways. They are surrounded by enemies. They're in a region that they went to almost to bring judgment through wiping people out. That was God's design with the Canaanites. But they didn't quite obey what God told them to do. And so now they're surrounded by enemies. The Amorites, the Amalekites, Moabites, Midianites, Philistines, who attack them about 10 times during the book of Judges, probably more. And so they don't only have a problem outside, but they also have a problem inside. They're not living as they're meant to, as a holy nation. They're not following God in the way they do, and they depend upon leaders to bring victory. And interesting that each of those leaders the way they brought victory was when they were anointed, called, and filled with the Holy Spirit. God had to intervene into human activity, and victory was brought. And maybe that's a first point to make, is the importance of God's Holy Spirit today. What makes a Christian different from a non-Christian? Basically, we have God's Spirit and God's presence indwelling within us. What enables us to become overcomers? We're living in times where there's a lot of lack of hope, a lot of people seeking answers to life in a difficult time. And really, it's only when the Spirit of God comes upon us and the Word of God becomes part of our thinking that hope begins to come in, as we see that there is a Saviour. There is an answer in life. There is a reason to life. And the Israelites, they go around in circles. And a life without God is often just a series of lots of going around in circles. God's way is often, He starts a work in our life, like in the book of Ruth, and then there's a direction for us that goes right through life. When God starts in our lives and we open our hearts to Him, it's the beginning of an adventure with Him. And it ends when we take our final breath and continues into eternity, where God has a great future for us. And all sorts of things can come in life, and sometimes they can appear like circles, but in actual fact, there's a sovereign God shaping us, or wants to shape us and use those things to make us more and more in His image. So the Spirit of God is so important today as we open up to Him. He wants to speak to us, as was mentioned in the song earlier, about hearing God's voice. He wants to speak to us. And in the book of Judges, often it was only certain individuals that were hearing God's voice when the Spirit of God came upon them. And as the Spirit of God brings us new birth, calls us to enter into His kingdom, we have the ability to hear God. That's amazing, isn't it? John 10, my sheep hear my voice. God speaks to us today. He's not a God that's a long way off. His desire is an intimate relationship with each one of us. Now, I spoke earlier of Israel's enemies, outside and inside. We too have an outside and an inside. We're often surrounded by all sorts of stuff, especially in these days. Challenges, fear, probably one of the biggest things in this time. The enemy often uses fear to manipulate us, to whisper lies into our hearts. But our victory is actually from the inside. What we are on the inside of us is what it's all about. That's where God begins His work, on the inside of us. That's where we know the power of forgiveness. We know the power of His presence. We know the power of His love. And when the battles on the inside are resolved, we begin to step into victory and start to become overcomers. And that affects our outside world, the way we see things, the way we do things, our motivations in life, hearing His voice that gives us wisdom on decisions we take and a direction we take in life. And God has a great plan for us. Would you agree? Amen. We are each and all of us unique. And we're not sausages coming out of a sausage factory. I've worked in a sausage factory once in Tunbridge Wells. Everything came out the same. We are all different. God has made us different. And each time God intervenes in a person's life, it is in a unique way. It's not the same. He has a unique way that He moves and speaks. Because He spoke to you last week in one way doesn't mean He's going to speak to you in the same way today. And in the book of Judges, and even in this book, we see great victory for Israel through Deborah, Jael a little bit later. But who would have thought it would be through a woman knocking a peg through a bloke's skull? God has an amazing array of ways to bring his victory into our lives. And often when we've thought it out, God will often do something totally different. And he often uses weakness to work his battles, because he gets the glory at the end of the day. And when we feel weak, that's when he intervenes often. So the Spirit of God is so important, being filled with his Spirit. Each one of us, human beings, has a spiritual life. And what we put into our spirits is very, very important. Now, Deborah the prophetess, she had received an anointing, and she began to grow in what she was. She received something precious from God. Each one of us has received or can receive something precious in him. And the more we use that, the more we will grow. Deborah was growing in the gift that she had received as a prophetess, hearing God, getting to know his voice. God speaks today. And many came to her. They saw wisdom on her. They saw something that was different about her. She was married to Lapioth. Her name means honeybee or busy bee. Her husband's name means flash. So busy bee and flash got on like a house on fire. And many came to hear her wisdom. What we put into our spirit, I'm jumping a bit between Old Testament and application, so sorry about that, there'll be a lot of jumping today. What we put into our spirit is so important. We live in a world where so many people are looking in totally the wrong place to satisfy their inner world. And it's all around us. And even when they make it in life, they can often be so sad, so full of all sorts of stuff that just destroys. Because our deepest satisfaction in life, our deepest joy, our deepest happiness comes when we are connected with the guy who made us, with the man who made us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he has his place in our lives, when we are hearing him, when we are in that relationship with him, we are most happy. And we will overflow with what's inside. When we are full of God, we love God, it will overflow. The Bible speaks of overflowing with hope, overflowing with love, overflowing with joy. We affect because we're full of something that God meant us to be. So, oh yes, a little image, six weeks ago I had COVID. I was in France and had to make a mad dash back to England, and I was down for quite a bit. And I lost my taste and smell. And I, for 6 weeks, haven't tasted a thing. So I heard that if you eat garlic and lots of ginger, it's meant to be good for you. It gets the immune system going. So I thought, right. So I bought some raw garlic, and I've been cutting it in slices with some raw ginger, cutting it in slices and eating it with garlic, with a bit of French camembert cheese. Very tasty. And I've been downing it. Can't taste it at all. Tastes lovely. Well, couldn't taste it. Anyway, this week, my taste is just beginning to come back. And yesterday I took a thin slice of ginger and put it on my tongue, and suddenly I'm beginning to taste. Woo! I thought I'd been eating that, loads of it, raw. But it's pokey old stuff, ginger. And I think within a week, because my taste is starting to come, I won't be eating the ginger as I was previously. A That's exactly the same with our spirits. God has given us a spirit that is very sensitive, that is designed to sense his presence, that is designed to ward us off from sin, to hear his voice, to be sensitive to a spiritual world. Many people are tasteless. They can't smell or taste in their spirit because they're blind to God. And they just let anything come along and pollute their inner man. What goes in here affects the mind, affects the way they think, lies, affects the spirit. And it's only when God gets his place back in our lives that we begin to be sensitive to the spiritual world. And we taste, attention, that's not going to be good. I'll come back to the story. Deborah has been practicing growing in her gift. God then speaks to Deborah on a national scale. She's grown in her gifting. The enemies of God have come back, and Israel once again cries out, "Help! Help!" Whether it's true repentance, or whether it's because they're just fed up with their enemies, or whether they fully understand the spiritual dimension is not clear. But God in his grace, when people cry to him, responds. Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord today, God is there. His presence is there to intervene in his grace and in his love. They cry out. She goes to the captain of the armies and gives him the word of the Lord. She speaks to him, and Barak, the commander, in verses 6 and 7, Judges 4, 6 and 7, she gives him God's word. The Lord God of Israel commands you, take 10,000 men. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. This amazing way in which God works is through people, but also it's by his spirit. Deborah hears God, the note of victory. She passes on the word to the commander of the army, and almost victory has already been set, but he's got to obey. And his response is interesting, but he responds, as we read earlier, in a way where he says, well, if you don't come with me, I won't go. Wasn't what God really wanted. God was looking for a man that was going to say, right, God's spoken, we're going to go for it. Lack of confidence, perhaps. Lack of a real relationship with God. He didn't have the connection. Fear. Whatever it was. And Deborah says, okay. And then we read the rest of the story. The honor will not be to you. So both of them go up, they call upon the two nations, and 10,000 respond. There's a response. Often when God opens a way, there is a response in people's hearts. We never want to go or walk or try to make things happen in God's work other than where the Spirit of God is moving. One of our big dangers in church or Christian life is we try to make things happen. And after we've been on the road a while, we realize that the fruit is not enormous when we try to do that. God gets the glory. God wants to move. But there is also this amazing relationship between God and us. He has chosen to work with us. He's placed his spirit in us, his word in us. And as a little later it says, that Barak advanced. In verse 14, and Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera. So Barak advances, the Lord breaks in. The enemy is scared and legs it. And he chases them all the way. So important that when we are in God's work, we realize totally to whom all the glory is due and who is doing it. We worship a powerful God, a mighty God. Nothing is impossible. He wants to use us, but he wants the kind of relationship that he can give us his giftings, he can give us his mind, he can give us strategy. So many people desperately looking for a spiritual meal, and yet they can't taste. The church has it. Men and women walking with God, God has placed in their hearts. We can share a good meal with people all around us. And as he went forward, God breaks in. God brings the victory, but there's this human and supernatural mix. A little earlier, it says in verse 11, Heba, the Kenite, had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zaninim, near Kadesh. Zaninim means wanderings. So it's a tree called because there was lots of wanderings there. And that's an interesting point. It just makes one verse given over to the fact that somebody related to Moses and the family and the tribe pitched their tent and they were there. The other part of the army are chasing after the others and killing them and seeing great victory. But the commander of the army who runs eventually comes back to where these guys have pitched their tent. And Moses' sister beckons him into the tent, and it's there that she pins his head to the floor, and the final victory is brought. Perhaps that can speak to us about two kinds of victory. The Bible speaks a lot, and it challenges us to learn in our Christian lives how to walk and to step out by faith. Now, Deborah the prophetess, her gifting came in, she brought the word of the Lord. The commander of the army then gathers the men. They go off chasing the army, routing them. A lot of activity, a lot of forward movement, a lot of action. And God looks to us to take steps of faith. Very often our victory is just a step of faith away. God speaks to us. We need to take a step of faith. And the victory will come. God will break in. I think there are many people today who've never actually come to a place of personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a lot of head knowledge, but their spirit actually is not really touched in a way that there's life inside of them. A real born-again relationship with Jesus. And that requires a step of faith. They've got to step out before God, and then God will break in. And that's the same for many, many other things in our lives. There's many things that God has got for us, and we have to take the step of faith. There's got to be forward movement out of maybe a fear realm. God is right there to help us. And that's the way we move on in God. That's the way we grow in God. And that's one kind of victory. And then there's another kind of victory where these guys, they pitch their tent and then the commander of the army comes in and Jael sticks a peg through his head. And that's the kind of thing where the Bible says in the New Testament to stand firm. Some battles we don't win by running after. Sometimes it's a question of standing firm. Maybe in this period now we're in that kind of a chapter. We can't do a lot of getting out and doing stuff. And it's a time of personal growth. It's a time of winning victories. I think probably there's an awful lot of stuff that's still hidden in these days. And God is working at inner stuff, both in his church and also in a lot of people's thinking. What is life about? Why are we here? Maybe a great harvest. We may be on the edge of a great harvest to come. Who knows what God is doing? And so standing firm, and sometimes we're surrounded by situations and our only response is to stand firm in our faith. God is with us. And in those times, God will bring victories, interior victories. Here she beckoned the man into her tent, puts a peg through him. Very courageous lady to do that. There was a great victory wrought. God wants to give us personal victories. Sometimes they're very private. They're very private. But it does something inside of us that brings another level of victory, another level in God. I often think of the widow in the New Testament. She was walking along and she had two mites and she popped them into the temple treasury. And Jesus beckons over his disciples and says, look at that woman. She'd been picked out. Now, the battle she must have gone through inside to think, if I put these two mites in, I've got nothing else for the rest of this week, month, whatever, to feed family, whatever, myself. Huge step of faith from her part. And Jesus says to his disciples, look at that woman. That is faith. We never know that the woman was ever approached by Jesus or the disciples. She went home. Did she ever know that Jesus was looking on and using her as a wonderful picture of her faith? She's actually in the book. Millions of people are affected by her story today. She probably never had any idea. Sometimes a personal victory will be just for you. And sometimes it becomes a very public thing that can set others free. The power of testimony, the power of personal victory. So I'll come to an end there. I'm sort of wandering here and there. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. The prophet brought the word, the commander of Israel brought the victory, the lady put the peg through the head of the commander. Victory comes. And then at the last verse, which we didn't actually read, it says, Israel became stronger and stronger. I'd like to end on that note. Often, defeat attracts defeat. But when we make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ and start to make a stand, victory starts to attract victory. We start to break through and understand how God, in his love, wants a relationship with us. We begin to understand that there is an amazing plan for our lives. That we're not in a lost situation, but God overrules. And that is a continual school when we go into difficult times. I belong to him. For me, it was when I was 17 years old. He is looking after me. And he will look after me to the end. And he's got things that I never dreamt about for my own life. And for you, he's got a wonderful plan, but it's pressing in to him, pressing in to what he's got for us. Hallelujah. So a great story from defeat to victory, and how God brings victory is always amazing, the ways in which he does it. Unfortunately, a little later, they then go back into their cycle of boomph, end of a cycle, and they go into wrong living, and they need the next judge to come along and set them free. So I'll pick that up the next time when I'm with you. Shall we just pray and ask God to help us in some of these things? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're a living God. You're powerful, you know us. You want to firstly meet us, and then you want to put us on a totally different direction for our lives. Something that we've often never dreamt of. Lord Jesus, help us to more and more be open to your spirit, to your word. Lord Jesus, transform us. We want to hear your voice. We want to continue loving you more than anything else. We want to learn your ways, learn how you speak, learn how you bring victories, both for ourselves personally, but also for so many people around us that just need a touch of your spirit, a touch of your victory, a touch of your presence. And I pray, Father, for any here that just need that new, fresh touch from your presence, Father. Just pray, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to your presence, Father. We want more of you. Come and bring freedom, Father. Bring victory over fear, over thinking, over every area of our lives. Your healing touch too, Father. Thank you, Jesus.